Reports on Baker's questionable operations made their way to Congress and into newspaper stories leaked by his enemies. Baker adamantly denied any wrongdoing, spinning elaborate but shaky justifications for his high-handed tactics. He argued in his memoirs that his bureau, though constitutionally unsuitable in time of peace, was indispensable in time of war, and thus allowed to cut corners. In a civil conflict as fearful as this one, the unnatural condition of things calls for the detective service to watch and bring to justice the enemies of the state who are plotting its ruin. He claimed that his service provided intelligence for some of the most important army movements and battles of the war. That was certainly not the case. And in the dirty shadow warfare he waged, he did not have to give any authority or reason for certain acts. Also not the case. Baker developed a martyr complex, claiming he was unfairly persecuted. Because his work was secret, he could not disclose details to defend himself. He became a master buck passer. When public wrath over his tactics grew intense, he blamed Congress and cabinet members for forcing him to hire disreputable men. Baker claimed he caught only two employees with their hands in the till, and he jailed them. He insisted that he accounted to Stanton for everything he confiscated, and that both the war secretary and the president backed him up. Stanton did, but there was no evidence Lincoln knew enough about his work to react to it one way or the other. Eventually, even Stanton appeared to become nervous that Baker's arbitrary arrests had gotten out of hand. On November 17, 1862, he ordered Turner to instruct Baker that he could not make any more arrests without special authority. To counter all the criticism heaped on him, Baker liked to cite the gifts his devoted subordinates gave him: an elegant saber and China silk sash that cost $200, plus one of the finest saddles in the country, costing $650. But it only begged the question, where did his men, who were paid the minimum wage of the day, get the money for such expensive presents? Cousin Joseph recalled accompanying Baker in late fall 1862 to southern Fairfax County, Virginia, to arrest a suspected enemy spy hiding there who had recently been prowling in Washington. The rebel officer, who Joseph said was a desperate character, resisted. Baker hacked the man to death with the Confederate's Bowie knife. The night ride back to Washington was a dreary one, Joseph later wrote. My mind kept reverting shudderingly to that bloody corpse we had left in that lonely old Virginia house. Newspapers in the South and North soon reported on the death, but never connected it to Baker. Several days later, Joseph walked into Baker's office holding a New York paper and pointed to a story about the slaying. Baker glanced at the article for a moment. He looked up at Joseph with his forefinger pressed against his lips, then returned to the letter he was writing. Joseph doubted that anyone else on the force ever knew about Baker's connection to the killing. The episode disgusted him.